Back in the land.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. How we doing tonight? I'm back in Atlanta, fresh from New York. We was at the Cougars Den in Nyack, but we're back here in Atlanta. Okay. And I also have my crew that's in New York, and also we have a special guest tonight. So let me introduce everybody and then get to our show topic. Tonight, we have, of course, my boy, my friend for over 30 years. I call him my little brother. He called me Big Bro. We got Amadi Martin. What's good, homie?
Yeah, yeah, what's up? Apparently you left the intro in New York, too, but it's all good.
Hey, finally came in. I don't know why it's coming in now. What the heck's going on?
Yeah. It's your boy.
See, you asked for it. It came back.
Right on time.
Yep, that's what's up. Somebody was listening. Okay, all we're right. Listening.
Yo, Marty, you had a birthday the other day, man. You turned 4-0. How was it, man?
Whoa, easy. Relax.
Yo, the gray hair shows a different story than 22.
I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing. Went to work.
Nothing at all? Jeez.
Nothing.
You're the cool guy of the crew, and you suck right now.
Yeah, I'm okay with
that, though. I was waiting for something. You didn't cook nothing? Nothing? What you
mean? No, nothing, actually. Yeah, no, I was just great, honestly. I did what I do, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I fed myself. I made sure I got some rest. I actually went to bed early, to tell you the truth. That was my own gift to me. But, you know, we're looking forward to doing things together with the family, taking some trips outside, out to the Caribbean, you know? So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, that's what's up.
Cool. And also, we was at the Cougars Den, Nyack, New York, but back here in Atlanta, and I guess she's still at the Cougars Den. Is our homegirl.
Yep.
I've known her for many years as well, too. I can't count how many years, but is the queen of our show, Miss Odetta, Nikki Lee. How you doing, baby?
Hey, y'all. What's up? What's good? Shaking.
All right. You had a birthday as well this week. What did you do?
I did. I had a great time. Thanks to my daughter, her bestie, and my bestie, Maida. She made sure I enjoyed myself. And also,
nice.
I bagged a 32-year-old.
You bagged
it?
Oh, yeah. The Cougar Den is really alive.
Got it. Okay.
You want to say his name?
No.
Shout out to Maida for putting that together.
Sure.
Good job, Maida.
You know, she had me out in the streets. You know, bagged something up real quick. It's cuffing season. Right?
I understand. You have to prepare for it. It's getting cold.
Yeah,
I know that's right. I had a birthday too. My wife took me to this reggae concert, but it was weird, guys, because it said it was a reggae revival in Atlanta. It wasn't reggae at all. It was they had the bass drum on it, but it was white guys doing rock music over it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was all over the place.
That's false advertisement. I was sick.
But I still had a good time. It was pretty interesting to see how they actually try to change up the whole entire thing by using the same label.
Kind of dumbfounded.
But anyhow, we have a great show tonight. We want to talk about the effects of growing up with a father in your life as a woman's point of view. So when we got together and got a special lady for this. So the reason why we came up with this is that last week Amadi was talking about this with his friend the Major, and it was this back and forth. And Amadi brought up something and said, hey, you know what? We left the game in bad shape. We want to put it back in a better shape. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty interesting. We do want to put it back in a better shape. And grew up without a father. I didn't have anything that could help me provide a better way for me to understand what man's supposed to be like. So I was like, you know what? We need to talk about that a little bit more. So I got a special guest from Jacksonville, Florida. Her name is Zara. She is a great friend of mine, friend of my family. I knew her when she was in Atlanta. She's a mother of five. She's a professional poker player, guys. So this is going to be pretty interesting, just listening to her story and what she had to do to get out of New Orleans, who is right now and who she is right now. So everybody, please, let's welcome to the show Zara. Hello, Zara.
Hello, everyone. How y'all
doing?
Insert
hand clap.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome. Welcome, Zara.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show, honey.
Yes, I'm excited about this.
So,
hey,
Zara, I heard you was in the tournament
started,
the other day.
Zara, before you get started, Greg, I don't understand how it was your idea. I'm confused. I thought that I had relayed this message to you in a series of text messages, and you said that's a great idea. I don't know how you just all of a sudden took claim for that idea. I'm a little bit baffled.
Because we had a meeting, or we supposed to, Thursday, nobody showed up, and you guys all gave suggestions, and that's the one I chose. So it's my idea.
Oh,
okay.
Right. All right. I'm so glad you're back in Atlanta now.
Wow.
So glad.
That.
Hopefully the doctors can fix you now.
He snatched it. Yeah,
hopefully the doctors can fix you now.
Clown, I'm back.
Zara, I'm sorry, Zara. Please.
Continue, Zara.
Oh, that's okay. I'm really excited about this opportunity that Hamadi and Greg presented.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. I'm excited about the questions you guys have, and, you know, I'm really an open book, and maybe my story can help some other women or mothers out there that who's been raised without a father.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming in. Like you said, talk about that a little bit before we get into your story.
Yeah. You're breaking up a little on my side.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Okay.
It's because he's in Atlanta, so, you know, it's a little sketchy down there. So,
right.
And, you know, like I said, the doctor's been fully fixed, and they're still working on it. He's like a work in progress.
Easy. You need to relax.
It's early. It's too early.
Jeez, man. We didn't get 5 minutes past yet.
Let's start.
Every 8 minutes. Go ahead, Zara.
So I didn't hear the question. I didn't hear what you said because you were breaking
up. Let's talk about your career and basically how you got to where you are today as a professional poker player, and then we'll get into your story.
Okay. Ironically, I became a professional poker player by accident, I guess. I was going through a divorce at the time, and I picked up the hobby just playing poker in restaurants. And it took about 6 months for me to realize that I had something that I was really good at, and I like to try to figure people out. And then I decided to start playing for real money, and that's how it happened. You know, over the years, I studied and I progressed, and then I realized that it was something that I wanted to do. So my profession before then, I was cleaning houses and working as a nanny, taking care of people. And then I just decided that I was going to go full-fledged as a poker player. You know, I took that chance, and it's been successful. I've been doing it for the last 7 years.
Cool.
That's dope.
All right. I love that. So talk to us about your story. You know, I've known you for about 15, 16 years, and when I met you come in into a church that I was going to, and you met a guy, you got married and all
that.
At
18.
But before that, at 18, and you already had a child already. So can you break down exactly what happened with you with your life before I met you and what happened afterwards?
Yeah, I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, and that's where I was born, but I was raised in a place called Napoleonville. It's a very rural town, not so much anymore, but back then it was. Around 10 years old, I had both parents in the house, and I saw the shift that happened, the happy family to my mom staying up all night looking for my dad. when I was 11, I remember my dad coming home, and I think it was like around Valentine's, and saying that he was leaving because he got another woman pregnant and he wanted to be with her. My mom had 7 kids, and she was totally dependent on my dad for everything. She didn't know how to drive. She didn't even know how to ride a bike. But he was the breadwinner. He was our everything, and he left around that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's traumatic.
Yeah, that was very traumatic because I saw my mom go from being a mother that cooked every meal, took care of us, did our hair. She sewed. She made all our clothes and everything. I saw her go from that to she turned into child form, and she never recovered until the day she died from him leaving her. So I saw that at 11. I don't know if you guys want me to keep going. But at 12 years old, was when I decided that I wasn't going to be a child anymore because I was tired of seeing my mom cry. She was in and out of mental institutions. Our lights was cut off for months at a time because she didn't have the financial means, and she didn't work, and she didn't drive, and she didn't try. She was just waiting for my dad to come back, and he never did. So at 12... At 12 years old, I decided that I was going to take over and I was going to run things. I had an older brother and sister, Chantel and Nathaniel. My brother had left and went to the airport because he said he's going to make a better way for us and come back and buy us a house. And my sister got married when she was 18, and she left and went to Atlanta with her husband. So I was the second to oldest that was left. So at 12, I had a conversation with my mom, which she was okay with because, remember, she turned into like a child. She was more of my sister, my peers, instead of my mother. So at 12, I learned that you better get what you need from a man because he would definitely get his needs and his wants from you. And when you all used up, he would leave you to go to the next best thing. That's what my dad taught me.
Hold on. So basically, you're saying at the age of 12, you had to become a responsible adult, and you had to do whatever you had to do to make it to survive in Louisiana.
Whatever I had to do by any means necessary, because I was tired of seeing my mom cry. I was tired of not having food. My neighbors, which was my aunt, they used to feed us sometimes, we used to get talked about why they were doing it, and it was a real bad environment. I mean, it was more like plantation. So imagine what you watch on TV, living on a plantation, because that's what we had: sugarcane fields. You know, no taxis, no bus. You walked everywhere. I mean, in the 90s, we didn't really have computers or television. We had a black and white TV. You know. So it was very rural, even back then. So that's what I decided to do at 12 years old, because that was my definition of what a man was because of my dad leaving.
And he never came back. Like, he just left and never looked back ever. Do you talk to him now?
My dad is deceased now. But yes, we did some talking.
Nah, she don't talk to him.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. So I got that. But did you ever, like, build a relationship later in life or at any point?
Definitely. My mom was the type of mother that never turned us against him, and she would never talk bad about him. So that helped. You know, that helped a lot. But my perception was at 12 that I needed to do what I needed to do. So at 12 years old, I decided to go to my mom, and I said, I'm going to have sex with this man. My sister was in Atlanta. I had my mom call my sister and say, we want to come to Atlanta, because we had nothing there. My mom couldn't take care of us, and it was, you know, 5 children that was left behind. And the youngest was like 2 years old. So I called my sister. and said, we want to come to Atlanta, and I have a plan. So at 12, I had a body, a nice little body for a 12-year-old, and I knew that. My mindset was probably of a 16, 17-year-old at the time. So I decided that there was this man who was about 25 years old that just came in town from California, and I noticed him looking at me, like watching me. So I decided, with the help of my mom, that I was going to have sex with this man, break my virginity, have sex with this man. 3 weeks later, tell him that I'm pregnant, and also I needed my mom to tell him if he don't give us this amount of money so I can get out of town, that he was going to end up in jail.
Yo, hold up. Yeah, Greg, okay, listen. So nobody warned me about this kind of stuff, right? So you're just going to spring this on me, huh?
I told you it was going to be deep.
Stop, relax.
I told you it was going to be deep.
Son, I was ready to, I'm waiting for the moment to pounce in and be like, yeah, we're going to turn up. But now you got me over here like, I wasn't ready for that, though. Like,
I didn't expect it either.
I started feeling where you were giving us little pieces of bread, little breadcrumbs as you were leading us into it. And I just wanted to say, even before all this, like, I was already feeling your energy. I told you that when we did the pregame.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Your energy is amazing. And I want to thank you for taking this time. And before you continue, I just want to say thank you very much for being so open, because, I was not ready for that. I had to hold up and, collect myself, give Greg a second. I mean, he already knew, so forget him. But I had to give Odetta, the queen, a second to get her everything together, because I know that just caught her off guard, too. So I'm going to let you continue. I just want to say thank you again, though, for being so open.
Yes, thank you.
I hope our listeners are paying attention. This is dynamic. This is powerful stuff here. So please, Zara, continue, queen.
Yeah. So you're welcome. I appreciate even having the opportunity, because I do share sometimes, but not as much anymore. And I'm happy to share and to be an open book about it. So my mom agreed to it. I didn't tell my sister what I was doing or my brother, no one, but it was my mom and I. And so I did it. I set this man up. And about 3 weeks later, I told him that he was going to end up in jail. My mom knew. And he gave us the money. Not only did he give us the money, he helped us, like, whatever I needed to get out of Louisiana, because my plan was to get my mom out of Louisiana. One of the main reasons I needed to get her out, because my dad left her for one of her friends. And that's what made her have a mental breakdown. So every day, we're in a small town, we would see my dad driving her friend around in our van that we had and wouldn't give us a ride. We had to hitchhike everywhere we went, to the grocery store to wash clothes. We used to drag bags of clothes to the head of the lane and hitchhike, and people pass us by. My dad passes by in our van with his new woman, and we witnessed that. And that broke her down. So I knew I needed to get her away from that environment at 12 years old. And that's what I did. And he gave us the money to move. My sister and my brother came down, my brother-in-law. He rented a rider's truck. And what's funny is that the U-Haul truck has a door, like the thing that you close down, and there's no air in it. But in a rider's truck, you can see what's in the back of your truck from the front. It has a little opening to it. So my brother-in-law was the only one that was able to drive. We packed up all of our mattress, little clothes, my sisters and brothers, and we got into this rider truck, and we drove to Atlanta, knowing no one, with nowhere to go, with only the money that my brother-in-law had, which was probably a couple hundred dollars, and the money we got from this man. And that's how we got to Atlanta. Of course, we were homeless in Atlanta.
Hold on, Zara. Before you go any further in this story,
okay,
I'd like to open up the phone lines. So if you guys have any questions that you want to ask Zara or the crew, please call us up at 714-583-6887. Once again, 714-583-6887. Now, Zara, I really appreciate you doing this, because a lot of guys don't understand what's actually happening to a lot of these women out here. They just think, well, like you said, you had an attractive body, you looked nice, and you was just trying to get yourself out of a situation. From our point of view, from men's point of view, we just look at a woman like, hey, she looks good. I'm trying to get at that. And we don't think about what type of problems, type of issues you have. We're just thinking about being satisfied with our sex game. So we really appreciate, like Amadi and Odetta said, we really appreciate you opening up with us and allowing the men to understand what's going on within these women. Continue on, please.
So when we, I'm going to skip a little bit, but we got to Atlanta homeless, and we made it. I was able to get a fake ID. I was able to get a job. My brother-in-law was able to get a job, and I worked, and he worked, and we got an apartment, and we made it after being homeless in Atlanta for some time. And we can go back to that, but I want to move on to when I was 15. So by the time I was 15, I already had no trust or respect for a family union because I had none. So I was pregnant by, at 15, I was pregnant by a married man who was double my age, and I had no remorse, and I was fully aware of what I was doing at the age of 15 years old. He was 29 turning 30, and I was 15, and I was pregnant, and I knew he had a wife, and he had kids, and he was from New York, and I was perfectly okay with that.
Wow, from the Bronx.
At 15. Because remember, at the age of 12, I knew that I needed to get my needs met because
right.
they were going to get theirs met. So I knew I
so
needed
to. So may I ask a question?
Go ahead, yeah.
So
yeah.
did you feel that continuously throughout your dating experience with men, did you always find what I call emotional lifesavers, like always someone just to be there to fulfill a need, like being with a married man? I'm sure he offered something, I guess, at that time, which brought you to him.
Right. At that time, it has always been about survival for me. And also knowing that I had something that they wanted. See, I was really smart, even from a younger age. Older women used to always say, you wise beyond your years. So I knew, I think the best way to describe it is that I was able to adapt to whatever someone needed me to be at any time, even at that early age.
Got
so
it.
Whatever
you whatever.
Needed me to be.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to get what I needed, and I had a big job to fulfill. I had to help my mom and still try to respect her as a mother, take care of five younger siblings.
Right.
So there's no time for me to be a child or to do anything. But
right.
Exactly. So
how did you know all this at 12? You know what I was doing at 12? I remember what I was doing at 12. Well, I think I remember what I was doing at 12. I was playing with G.I. Joe's, I think. Yeah. I was playing with G.I. Joe's. That's crazy.
But you got to acclimate. You got to acclimate and move.
Yeah.
And
you have to. I just did what I had to do. You know, I did what I had to do. It was just like survival. You know, like you take a baby and you throw them in water and they're gonna start swimming. Like they're gonna do what they have to do. So for me, I had an option. I could sit there with no light, still go to school, get talked about. You know, because it's a small town, everybody knows. You know, I can sit there, and all I can do what my dad did. I just did what my dad did.
So let me ask you something. So Zara, let me ask you something. So how did you feel about pretty much doing exactly what your dad did to your mom? I mean, you being with a married man and all that.
I had no remorse. I felt nothing. I felt like...
Jesus Christ.
It happens. It's life. His wife would call me. I was 15. She would call me and cry, leave my husband alone. And he's married, he has children. And I would tell her, I'm not taking away from you. He's still doing everything he needs to do for you. But he also is doing what he has to do for me. So that's what it was. You know, I didn't feel anything about that. I didn't care about feeling love. I saw my mom and my dad be in love, and I saw them get divorced. So love to me didn't mean anything. You know, it's a feeling that people have whenever they want it, I guess. They turn it on and they turn it off. So
did your dad?
Did your dad
abandon you, or he just wasn't around anymore at all?
No, he would come around. He would come around. I remember a time that word got out in a small town that I was dealing with this older man, and it got back to my dad through my aunt, and my dad came home one night and tried to beat me with a belt. I couldn't believe it. I just looked at him for a minute, and then I took the belt away from him, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, you shouldn't be messing with this man. I was like, you're not here, and you're not helping do anything. Like, I was stunned. I couldn't believe I was getting beat. Like, what are you doing? And
a little too late, Bobby.
Like,
a little too late. Like, a little too late.
Push him off of me. Like,
right.
You think
like,
I'm
what
doing
you,
this
yeah.
because I want to? Mm. I'm doing what I have to do, what you choose not to do, and what my mom choose to decide not to do. I'm doing what I have to
do. So, did you have your child already?
At 15, I had him. 15, I had him. I dropped out of high school because work, it was too much to work and go to school and do all that. By that time, at 15, I was in the ninth grade. I dropped out in ninth grade, and I started working more, double shifts to pay the rent. My sister, my brother-in-law was still with me, but they were married, and eventually things happened. They moved out, and it was just me. You know, my mom still didn't work.
Slow down. Mm-hmm. So basically, at the age of 12 through 15, you taking care of your mother and how many siblings?
It was five. Well, I was number four, so because I was number five, you know, so I was left.
Wow.
So it was four other siblings. Yeah, I was working. I was working at Checkers. And don't get me wrong, the guy that I had my son with, I still have respect for him to this day because it wasn't a secret. I told him exactly what was going on and what I wanted and what I needed from him.
Does your
and
son know this now?
That.
Does your son
yes.
know this?
Yes, he knows it.
How does he feel about it?
He loves his father. You know, he loves his father. He never understood as growing up why he couldn't be around his other siblings and stuff like that. You know, and why his father's wife hated him so much, my child, because he paid for that. So he paid for the things that I did. But it kept a roof over my son's head, over my mom's and my sister's and my baby brother's head. So that's what it did do.
You know what this made me think of, which is kind of scary? My mind always goes left, so I'm just going to throw this out there. It kind of makes me think about what might have happened back in the days when you had colored women that became pregnant by slave masters. Well, not, I guess it's further off than that, but, you know, maybe their bosses or, you know, something like that, and, you know, went back and said, well, listen, if you want me to, this is going to be your illegitimate child, and now you're going to have to take care of this family, you know, just for those circumstances because they were lusted at like that. You understand what I'm saying, Greg? Y'all follow me?
I completely understand. Yeah. And you explained it just right. That's what I knew. See, where I was raised, it was like a plantation. You know, we still had the Ku Klux Klan coming around the neighborhood. Like, it was, you still, the women that did work, they worked in white women houses taking care of their kids. So that's why it was so easy for me to get a job as a nanny cleaning houses because that's what I knew. So it was familiar to me. So that's why I felt nothing of it. And this was in the 90s, you know, the early 90s. So just moving on, by the time I was 18, was when I met Greg. Because by that time, I wanted to feel love. You know, I was tired.
Hold on.
Hold on, what did you get from Greg?
You're going to let me talk. Go ahead. What did
I'm
you
relax.
Need from Greg? Because the way that came out, that was classic.
I know, I had to come in quick.
It only came out like that because you stopped me. That's
yeah.
why. Stop
and you know,
we saw where it was going. We saw.
You like them older,
no,
you know.
Wait.
You
guys
like
don't know
older.
What to expect. You don't know what to expect, right?
No, I knew
what
to expect.
What to expect. Yeah,
except.
Oh,
I have a question. I have a question.
Yeah.
Did you have you sought any therapy or anything or? Maybe like religion,
most,
spiritual.
Most definitely. No, most. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why I can have this conversation with you. You know,
okay.
Before, that's the only reason why I can share.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine me sharing this. Imagine I would be a wreck right now. I should be on somebody's drugs or maybe in a grave, you know, and maybe somebody else
thinking
tells
about
my story if I didn't get help. So
mm-hmm.
help is on the way. This is the beginning of it. But I was saying when I was 18, I wanted to feel love by that time. So I decided to love a man who loved God so I could feel something. I remember being in a gym working out, exercising, and this guy, which is the man that I married, which is Robert, I remember him saying to me, do I have a Bible and do I know God or something like that? And I was like, yeah, I do, but I didn't. And he called me that night and he wanted to read the Bible with me. And that was different and refreshing. And I was
right.
just saying how tired I was at 18. You know,
right.
by 18.
Well, you're still a baby.
18, yeah, but I was like, I was exhausted. I was grown. I was a grown ass woman at 18. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean at 12 you were a grown ass woman. You kidding me?
Yeah.
What are you talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah,
18 you were 18 you were elderly.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're a baby.
Body, when we look at women, we don't really think about that, what actually happened in their lives. We just say she's a grown woman. I want that. So whenever
no.
we
how
have some type of game or anything, we just go after it, and that messes
right.
a lot of women up. We don't think times about it. It's crazy.
Bro,
you don't think about how to handle
18 year old, how's an 18 year old man gonna compete against this? Are you kidding me?
He couldn't.
No,
nah,
he has
no
chance.
No.
He couldn't.
Savage.
He
Savage.
Couldn't.
Nah, not at all.
Was your husband older than you? How much older was your husband than you?
See, this one caught me off guard. Because he was 2 years older than me, but he had something that I've been looking for the last 6 months. I was looking for, like, I wanted to feel love. You know, I was tired. At this point in time in life, I remember leaving my mom and my sisters because I was tired. I remember coming home from work. So I'm working overnight shifts. I have my son and my mom and my sister is at home in an apartment that I'm paying for. And I remember my sister, that's a year older than me, saying that all I do is come home from work and go straight to sleep and don't take care of my baby. And that hit me. That was like, oh, really? That's what I do. Okay. So I'm going to leave. And you guys figure out. You're old enough now. You figure out how you're going to help mom pay these bills because I'm going to go get my own place with my child and put him in school. And that's what I did. I left because I was frustrated and I was tired. And I got my own place. And I remember.
Hold on, so basically you're telling me here that you was frustrated, you was tired, you got your own place, you wanted your own stuff. But on the reverse side is that man just thinks he find the perfect woman and this is what he wants and he's want to marry. But you have so many things going on with you that he doesn't even understand or comprehend and he can't handle the situations that you have in your life.
Exactly.
Hmm.
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of men go through that issue right now that we just want to have a woman, but we don't want to take on the responsibilities of that woman and of her childhood, her bringing up, and we think we could solve those issues. And I know you bringing up the church and everything, and you probably going to go deeper into that, but a lot of times that men in the churches think that, you know, all you have to do is come to God and I can take care of you, but they don't have a clue and they haven't been raised to even figure out what is going on with the actual the psyche of the woman to even deal with her at all. They just want to have her in sex and have children. That's it.
That's exactly
it. I find out a baller.
And this guy who I married was different. See, he wanted me to love God before I loved him. See, he was different. And then he started sharing with me the love of God. Remember, I was the protector. I was the breadwinner. I was the go-getter for everybody. I was God to everybody in my family. I never had my shining and night, whatever armor, whatever you call it, like guy. You know what I mean? I never had him. So when this guy came into my life, I said, I do in 7 days. Like, you want to do what? You want to protect me? You want to cherish me? You want to respect me? Do you know who I am? So when he said yes, I was just like,
hold on, what?
Okay,
hold on, what?
Let's do this.
Why, yo, did you hear what she cried, Greg?
And 7 days.
No, I know what you said. I wanted you to hear. I already know the story, bro.
Do you know who I am? Where did you find her? She's fantastic.
I feel like I'm reading a great book. This is amazing.
It is a fact, man. Relax. It's Zara's turn.
What?
So I was
thinking. You know what? Don't do me like that.
All I have
to
do.
Repeat that. I didn't hear what you said.
No, I just said, Amari, don't do me like that.
Say it with your chest.
I'm sensitive today.
Chest cuddle. Say it with your chest cuddle.
I'm sensitive. No, I'm sensitive today. Don't do me like that.
I know.
It's a very touchy story. Body, relax, man.
Right.
At the end of 40-minute mark, you go crazy, man. We got 3 more minutes.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, shit.
Sorry, Zara. Go ahead, please.
It's okay. So I was thinking all I had to do was play a role. That's all I have. You want me to play. So you're going to do all these things for me. And all I have to do is love God. And the way you want me to love him is to read this book and get to know him. And I was, you know, I was already good at playing roles. So I was like, okay, that's it. All right. No, don't eat pork. Go to church on Saturday. All right. Have a little fear or be scared of him. Okay. And so that's what I did because I was tired of taking care of my baby by myself, taking care of my family. I was tired and I wanted someone to take care of me. And he was 2 years older than me. I never asked him what he did for a living. I married him in 7 days. I didn't care. He was talking.
In 7 days?
Talking.
I didn't remember it was that quick, but okay.
It was 7 days.
Gosh.
But did you say you had a little fear of him? Of him,
no.
Meaning
he told
your husband,
me that I
or...
needed to fear God. Fear
God.
God,
okay,
like,
okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, Dad, are you
just
listening?
To fear God.
Odetta, 7 days, not 6 months. You want to
know? Hey, we didn't hear the end of this story. We haven't heard the ending of this story, sir.
She's married. Oh, you're right. Continue.
Thank you
so much. So here, find out. And when I say 7 days, let's get this 7 days according to what church I was in. If you have sex, then you're considered married. Okay. So in my mind, I couldn't divorce this man. I had to, like, go get the papers, and we had to get married.
Slow down. So this man convinced you that by having sex with him, you was his wife.
Yes, and he was going to give me all of these things.
Wow.
David Koresh.
This is exactly what we're talking about, buddy. We left the game in shambles. We be telling women things. We seem like we're the best thing for them, but we just don't have a clue what we're doing ourselves, and we're taking on another responsibility. She has a child, and we're taking on the responsibility
right.
of that child and messing everything up within her life and then also that child's mind. It's crazy.
Right. You're playing with lives.
But how is he supposed
truly.
To know? She's been grown since she was 12, though, so how is it a miscalculation part?
Basically, she's saying that he didn't have a clue of who he was. So basically,
right.
he just said, hey, I had sex with you. You're my wife.
Yeah,
okay.
Now he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, and you got a kid, too. I'm going to take care of your kid. And he didn't have no responsibility. He's about 20, and he don't know what the heck he's doing.
He had no clue.
No clue.
That's what I'm saying, though. At that age, do you really know what you're doing? But you think
you
do?
Not at
you
all.
Think
you think
you
know
though.
Everything, but
yeah,
nah.
but at 12, she already knew. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to
and
say. Like, so it's a miscommunication, you feel me?
Yeah, like you said, you was playing
I don't know.
Would you say G.I. Joe or Barbie? I'm not sure what you said you was playing, but what would you play?
Come on, you trying to play me, son? You trying to play me?
But seriously, like you say, you was playing with G.I. Joe Transformers at the age of 12, and she's already an adult. So at 14,
right.
he still don't know anything,
she was
and she's already 10. Ready to have a kid. So
she was
So yeah, yeah, you're right, Amaya. This is crazy.
I agree. I completely agree, and I don't fault him at all now that, you know, things have happened, because I understand, because he was doing what he was in his right age. He was doing everything appropriate to his age. He was living with his mom. He was working a part-time job. He was making minimal wages. He was like,
he wants to go on a family.
He was doing what a 20-year-old was supposed to do. All he knew at the time, he was like, he had a zeal for wanting to do right by God. And for me, I was ready to be obedient because I was tired. It had nothing to do with my love for him. I didn't know him enough to love, and I didn't really know
where was
love
his daddy
was anyway.
Where was
his dad and his mom were together. Yeah, they were married.
But how was the father? Even being married, you could be unhappy and messy and toxic. Was the father a good example?
His parents.
Like, he knew to go to work, take charge, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. When they found out that he was with me and I had a child.
A babe, right.
They were like, are you crazy? They lost it. I was very
I lost it too.
Did you say that you moved in with them? Did you live with them?
Moved in with me. He moved in with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
He moved in with me, and as soon as he moved in, I was like, what in the world did
what
I
did do? I
do? But it was too late.
Yeah.
But hold on. We got to point something out here. Let's point something out here. See, you didn't have your father. You took on the responsibility of being a parent at the age of 12. Mm-hmm. You had a child. And now you've got a man, and really the only thing you know about yourself is that, hey, I can have sex, and he's going to like my sex. So, and the guy's like, yeah, I want sex. This is what I want. Mm-hmm. But nobody's really making an adult decision to say, hey, we need to slow down and check this stuff out and do what we need to do to be properly introduced to each other. We just want to just
marriage.
Have sex with each other. That's basically what I'm hearing right now.
No. Remember, I needed to remember from the beginning when I was 12, I told you I understood already that I had to get what I needed out of every situation that I was in. He had what I needed. I'm 18, I can take care of myself. I knew how to take care of myself. I knew how to get what we needed. It's so bad that he didn't have a job, that I was taking care of everything. And my son's father, remember, he was still in on the arrangement.
Whoa.
So he paid our rent.
Stop. Amadi, you heard what she's about to say? The baby father paying the mortgage or the rent in the house that her husband is living with her. Yeah.
What?
That's why I think I'm wearing right
necessary.
Now. The married man is paying another family's household.
Nah, you know what, though, Greg? We were just watching Oxygen last night, and I think I heard a story. It wasn't Snap. It was some other joint that was like that, though. Yeah.
Jeez.
You asked that. Why?
But this is like every like this must be happening every day, and us guys, we don't have a clue. We just want the drama.
No.
That's
what's
it.
Going on?
But you see
you.
What
so
we're
now,
trying to go through?
I'm sorry, but I'm really feeling what you're telling me right now, Zara, because a lot of men, and I keep on repeating this, but a lot of men don't think about this stuff, and we need to get their attention so they can understand that. Just a pretty woman out there, it doesn't mean that you're just supposed to just go and bang her out. She has a lot of issues, a lot of problems that you might not be able to solve. You need to fix yourself, get yourself prepared. And I don't know how we can prepare men for this because
a lot of
women are out there without fathers and they don't have that guidance. And men just go in there and think they do. I don't know how we can actually solve that issue.
Be careful with people and their feelings. That's it. Be careful.
Yes.
Learn people. Take a second to learn somebody.
So that's
I used to
come
feel.
Play, huh?
That's
I
my
used,
6 months.
Feel,
hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Yep.
Take your
I agree.
Time. Chill. I learned something. Somebody.
I used
a lot
to
of bitter
feel
women out here for nothing.
Hold on, though. Before we go on with your story, because it seems like we're going to have a part two to this, because this is a lot of information.
I was
going to
ask
you
that.
On it. Yeah, you, I know you was, Odette. I know you. Virgos, that's how we do. We think the same way. See, the Leo, the Leo's
exactly.
Side over here. We don't know what's going on
I know.
Right now.
What's up? Hello? Hello? Somebody
said
Imani
was the one who, you know, who's
going to
do,
right.
You know.
Are you
calling?
No, don't call him out. Don't call him out. Don't call him out. It's
him
the 20-minute mark. He becomes sane at this point. Let him be sane. Let him be calm and relaxed.
You
woke up the giant. You woke up the giant. Why did you do that? Before we go any further, guys, I just wanted to point something out. In the month of September, we're going to have a contest basically for four shows. We want you guys to listen in and find out what the keywords are. And if you go to our Facebook group, Okay, We Listening, we're going to have the contest inside of there. If you could tell us what the keywords are from the shows that we have for the month of September and who said it the most, then you'll get the actual prize. We'll give you more details in our Facebook group. So go to Okay, We're Listening, sign up, and you'll get the information in there. We give a lot of good information in that group. Odette and Imani go crazy in there. So go in there, check us out. And yeah, keep it popping. We keep it snapping up in there. So come up in there, check us out, and we will give you the information in the group. Imani, was you going to say something? I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, it's all good. Now I totally forgot about what I was going to say. It's all good.
All right.
I was actually paying attention to you. This has been a very educational show today. Honestly, I hope the guest. I hope she is interested in coming back and joining us. I hope the listeners truly enjoyed her experience. I wasn't ready for any of this. I appreciate it. I really became a listener instead of more of an active participant in this, and that was beautiful. Odette, I really appreciate you for chiming in too, being vocal and challenging her with some questions. I mean, you were fantastic too. I don't know what else.
Imani, the show's not over, so why are you acting like it's over, Imani?
Yo, hold on, bro. Why do you constantly do that? You're not even up here anymore. Why do you do that? I was having a moment.
But the show's not over. It's not like you're closing out.
It's
7 minutes
past the 40.
You were taking away from my moment. You were
taking
away from my shine.
Yeah, because he never does that.
I'm sorry.
Keep it going, Imani.
No,
my
he
bad.
Usually does it. You don't do that.
I know. My bad.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Imani. Back to what you were saying, how great I am. Yes.
Nope, you're good. You're good. As usual, weren't listening, so you missed the moment. Zara, this is classic for what happens on our show, is that we get into these deep conversations, and at the end we find out that Odette wasn't listening. And honestly, it's not just Odette. It's pretty much most of the women. They're just not listening. So what we try to do...
Everything.
Go Truck is back! Back.
Who asked for him?
Listen, man. We've had a really great show. Odette, you've been great. You've been great, Odette. I don't give you enough credit. You're right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Wow. This is being recorded. You know that, right?
I know. For the record.
Laura, we got about 11 more minutes. Continue on, and hopefully if you feel obligated or not, that you could come back next week and continue on with the whole entire story.
No, let's make her save some. Let's make her save some.
You want to close it down now?
I'll end it.
Right? Because we're
Well, she didn't even say she'll come back yet. Let her answer the question first. Jeez,
what
do you think
she didn't say she's going to come back? She's going to come back.
Yo, relax,
she has
man.
Fun with that.
Zara, are you coming back?
You're
going to come back, girl. You're coming back, girl.
It depends on when. The month of September, I have a poker tournament from pretty much the whole month. I'll be traveling. So it just depends.
I like her.
On the time.
Her. You coming to New York?
I'll be in Atlantic City for the month of September.
Yo, about 10 racks.
Yeah.
About 10 racks.
First was like 5. Now you're at 10.
Right.
5 seems too light.
Let
me hold something, though. Imani, when you get that, let me hold something.
Son,
she's a heavyweight, right?
Now you get it.
That's it.
I know. Us, all of us.
Phenomenal
community.
Woman. I phenomenal woman.
Zara, we do it every Monday night, the same exact time.
Okay.
So next Monday night, are
so
you
next
available?
Monday, I'll be home. I think.
Oh,
when is next Monday?
I think the 3rd. I'm not sure.
Oh, wait. That's
okay.
Labor Day. Oh,
that is Labor Day,
okay.
Isn't it?
I'll be home.
I
don't
know. That's the 2nd, bro.
Wait.
I think. Somebody pull out a calendar. Who has a calendar?
It is. Monday is Labor Day.
It is. It's the first weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might not
so
be.
So what date is that?
I don't know.
The 1st.
You got all the technology
Saturday.
We have around us and nobody
has
a daggone calendar?
It's the 3rd. It's the 3rd. Yeah, the 3rd.
So, all right. So, yeah, it's the 3rd. You're right. All right.
You know, I don't know how much time we have left, but I know a good stopping point. I can keep going, and then I'll just stop.
Go. We got about
point.
8 minutes.
Okay.
Go.
Okay. So, in my mind, at that time, I was the true definition of a strong Black woman. And for me, it was surviving under any circumstances. And at 18 years old, I was married. I had my own house and my own car, and I was taking care of my child. And he gave me some peace and some rest. I mean, we didn't do anything on the Saturday. And he wanted to be a husband with the little information he knew how to be because of that he received from his dad, I guess. But 7 years later, I was 25, and I realized I wasn't safe at all because safety was something that was important to me, protection, you know. And I realized this is my mom died at 25. When I was 25, she was 52 or 53. She had an aneurysm. And I see my mom grieve all of her life waiting for my dad to come back. And I truly believe that she died of a broken heart. She was stressed from the time he left. They were married for 20 years. So from the time he left till the time she died, she was waiting for him. And on her dying bed, she wanted him. And that's when he decided to come running, but it was too late. And when he got there, she had died 5 minutes before he got there. So I don't want to touch too much on that, because it's kind of a touchy subject. But after that happened, I was 25, 7 years of marriage, and I realized that I wasn't safe at all, that I only had served God because I feared him. I only stayed married because I didn't want to be like my mom. I didn't want to be single and divorced and helpless and raising 3 children alone, because what you guys didn't know, in the 7 years, I had 2 more children. In the 7 years, this young boy who didn't know what he was getting himself into, I cheated on him with my son's father because he's the one who was paying out bills, and I thought that it was okay. Like, in my mind, I'm like, it's okay, and if you can't handle it, we can get divorced. So that's how I was surviving. I was a strong Black woman. I was doing what he wasn't capable of doing, and I was taking care of his household at that time.
He never stepped
up? At that
up.
Time.
He never got
oh,
it together.
Oh yeah, he did. Yes. He's
okay.
Phenomenal. He's an electrician.
Okay.
He's
okay.
A man now. So don't get it wrong, but I'm talking
just
about when he was 20.
Right.
Exactly.
It,
when
right.
he wasn't supposed to be in that situation.
Right.
So
I'm gonna move on. So what that happened when I was 25, and I remember repeating all the time the things that I didn't want. I didn't want to be like my mom. I don't want to be divorced. I don't want to be helpless. I don't want to raise my children. I don't want to be weak. But at 27, after my mom died, I was divorced. I had no job. I was homeless. I had no car. I had no money. I lived in a shelter. I felt no love from no one. You know, I was looking like I was 50, like my mom's age when she died, and all because I was a victim of being a fatherless child.
You're blowing my mind right now. I knew half of this story, but I thought about you when Odetta came to us and said, hey, we need somebody on the show. And I said, you know, you're the perfect person because I know that you're going to be able to give us exactly that our listeners need, and I really thank you for that. Even if we can't do it next week, we could probably record the show and then play the following week. Would you be down for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We definitely can.
So,
The story, I can keep going. The story is so interesting because you guys are getting, like, the part that was like, whoa, that's so bad, or somebody shouldn't go through that. But there's a beautiful ending to the story. Mm-hmm. And I guess that
was
the part too.
Let's lay the beautiful ending for next week, because I bet our listeners will come back for that. Let's not give them the upside yet.
We're not.
Let's see Phoenix rise.
Yeah. Let's make it rise. But, yeah, I think this is a good place to slow it down because we got about 4 minutes left.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
It's over. My husband said that it's over, only he can't hear anymore. My new husband said that it's over. He can't hear anything anymore.
It's over.
Yeah, he said that it ended.
Okay.
I don't know. We're still live.
Okay.
We're still connected.
But go ahead.
All right. So let's close out. Odetta, do you have any closing remarks that you want to leave ourself?
I do. If we have any male listeners, reconsider when you want to walk out and leave your kid behind. You're not just leaving your kid behind, starting a new life. Look at, like, all the trauma that you're causing and devastation that you're causing for many lives, children, your grandchildren. It's going to just transmit and carry on. It's going to have a ripple effect throughout many lives. So reconsider and use your brain and think. Wear a condom. If you don't want them, you can't take care of him, you want to leave and be free, don't have kids. That's it.
I hear you.
Like, for real.
Lauren, do you have anything you want to close out with? I know you said you have a continuation of this show. I don't want you to give the good high points yet because we'll give that to our listeners the next time you come on. But what do you want to leave for right now with our listeners?
Yes, I want to say to the women to stop focusing on what you don't want. I spent a lot of my adult life saying I don't want to be divorced. I don't want to be like my mom. I don't want – and in turn, I got exactly what I was putting out there. And the other thing that I want to say is get help. Get help. It's just like as doctors when you have cancer, when you have to go get your yearly checkup, there's doctors out there who can help sort out these issues that's going on. Don't keep them. Don't bury them. Don't hide from it because the only way you can get healed is exposing your truth.
I say that all the time. Like, even when you are trying to date somebody, you know, don't send a representative. Send yourself. You know, there's no reason for you to hide who you are. You know, if you want someone to really love you, to fall in love with you, and you want to fall in love with them, there's no point of, you know, sugarcoating anything. You got to be upfront. And if you're not going to be upfront, you're wasting your time for that 6 months or 8 months that you're actually trying to figure out that person. So thank you very much, Dara, for coming out and sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
I'm so happy that
you gave it to our listeners. Our listeners really need this. This is what we talk about every week on our Facebook page. Okay, we're listening. This is what we talk about every week on our podcast. It's not about, you know, having laughs and jokes and all that all the time. It's about really building our community, building ourselves back up to where we're supposed to be in power. Not necessarily to be at the bottom, but to be at the top or be at the equal share of the top. So that's what we're trying to do, and we thank you so much for allowing us to hear your story. I really appreciate it. All right.
Thank you. So
what we're going to do, everybody, is we're going to close out for tonight. We're going to have a part two. The next show will not be live. Zara has a lot of things going on in September, so we'll try to record it and then try to play it for you guys after the week of Labor Day. We'll be off next week. So please listen back for us next, I guess, was that the 10th? We'll be playing that show on the 10th so you guys can hear it. Zara, good luck with your tournaments. Thank you so much for joining us.
Win that money.
Really appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right, everybody. Have a good night.